time for Mock Trade Deadline Part 2. If you haven't listened to Part 1 yet, go back and check it out. Lots of interesting action with Carmelo Anthony, Paul Millsap, quite a few others. Just introduce the cast of characters here. Kevin Pelton of ESPN, Dan Feldman of NBC, Danny LaRue of The Athletic, and very often this podcast, joining us to do a bunch of awesome fake trades that we hope are pretty realistic in advance of the trade deadline. Try to calibrate the value of some of the players that may or may not be moving ahead of this trade deadline. Our sponsors today, MeUndies. MeUndies.com/capspace will get you 20% off your first order. And Indochino. Get any premium made-to-measure suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering that capspace code at checkout. Let's get now to the mock trade deadline right now. All right, this is where it gets really interesting to me. Well, actually, you know what? I think we'll try this first. The Nets were willing to listen on Brook Lopez, as I mentioned, but the price is going to be big. Like, one middling first rounder that's not in the lottery is not enough to get it done. Is anyone willing to offer anything beyond that for Brook Lopez?
Tumbleweed sound effect.
It's too bad when I truncate the silence, it's going to sound like that wasn't that long of a pause, but that was a really long pause.
You could edit some additional silence back in there.
What about, is there any way we could do a deal, Charlotte? Is there something that you might be interested in there just to get a little bit more scoring? Not really.
Would you be interested in Miles Plumlee?
All right, let's move on. You guys know what we're looking for. Nobody wants Brook Lopez. Totally understood. Also, I think if you're a Charlotte right now, you got to be kind of blanching at the fact that Indiana is really loaded up. Toronto is really loaded up. Now you're really just looking like you got no chance of winning a first round series at this point if you're Charlotte.
Yeah, we still have something up our sleeve.
Oh, indeed. Okay. Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor are the two really remaining in this section that clearly are going to get talked about. I think my plan is I'm willing to move one of them, but you know, it has to be a significant asset back. Like, we're not willing to just dump either of them at this point. Let's start with Okafor, actually, because I think I'm more likely to want to keep Noel at this point. Is there anything out there for the dominant scoring of Jahlil Okafor?
What are you looking for? Do you want to start try to set a price point on him? Like a late first, better than that?
You know, I'm not sure that a late first quite gets there yet, because I feel like Jahlil is just at an absolute nadir in his value. We could still lose Noel in restricted free agency or trade him as well. So a late first is probably not enough, especially because we have all these firsts already. I'm thinking more that we might want to get a wing back or a guard back. Maybe not someone who has quite the pedigree. Like, we're realistic about that. But Jahlil's struggled with his knees this year. He's been in and out of the rotation. Like, he's at a nadir, and you know, we still don't even know for sure that Embiid is going to be healthy, although we're feeling better about making that assumption. So, like, I mean, just in general, are there any teams that feel like he would help them, that they could use him at all?
Mavericks here.
Hello.
I'm not sure we really have any matching pieces, but in a general sense, we kind of think we like Okafor more than the average team does, but I'm just not sure we have a matching piece.
What about Justin Anderson?
No, that's too much.
He's not even really in the rotation this year, though.
Yeah, we still believe in him, though. We think you're kind of stuck in a tough spot. We'd be aiming to give up less than Justin Anderson.
I don't think that you have less than Justin Anderson.
Nicholas Brasino? AJ Hammonds?
Pateri Kopanen, number 30 in 2007. He actually, I think, is an NBA player, but nonetheless.
What do you think of Dorian Finney-Smith?
Not enough. A very, very low upside player, although he's been decent this year. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. Anybody else with some interest? If you're not even willing to give up Justin Anderson, we got nowhere to go. I mean, this year's first round pick obviously is going to be too much for you, so
right.
I'm not even going to ask for that.
Utah is vaguely intrigued, but we don't have the right assets at this point, especially considering you want, even though we have a ton of wings, we kind of need to keep the ones we have, and they don't fit from a salary perspective.
Yeah. I mean, Utah, I think another reason, by the way, that Alec Burks trade wouldn't have worked with Orlando is because what if Gordon Hayward leaves? Then they really need Burks a lot. Like, they don't know that Gordon Hayward stay.
Right.
All right. Sounds like the market is pretty tepid for Jahlil Okafor. We're willing to listen, though, on Nerlens Noel as well. He's been playing well. We have a ton of cap space. He has a low cap hold as well. We would be willing to just simply let restricted free agency play out, realize that he's probably going to get a pretty decent contract, pay him that, and then we can always move him later. Joel Embiid may just not play that many minutes next year still. He might sit out some back-to-backs unless we're really contending. I don't think it makes that much sense to be playing him a ton of minutes, so we're going to need a good backup center anyway. Maybe we can steal a few minutes together. So we're okay keeping him, but, you know, so one first-round pick at the back of the first round, like, that's not going to get it done for him. We're going to need more than that.
Blazers here. Do you have any interest in Alan Crabb? Is a shooter for you on the wing?
I mean, I see him as not a terribly negative contract, but that's probably like $6 million worth of negative value. Like, I think of him as like, you know, a $10, $11, $12 million player at the most instead of the $18 that he's making. Also, he would have to approve a trade.
And he's got a 15% trade bonus.
and I would...
Thank you, Nets.
Yeah, I would be... And he also... Even if he breaks out, he's got that player option on the end too. So he even if you were willing to approve a trade, which I'm guessing, I don't think Philly's reputation has quite gotten to that level yet, where he would approve the trade. That is like a negative asset still for me.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to trade for Noel, given what his salary is going to be next year, we have to get off Alan Crabb's salary. That's the only way we can do it.
Well, but at least you don't have to play Plumlee anymore. I mean, if you wanted
we're going to have to pay one of those two guys at least. And I think it's possible that Plumlee still may be better for us than Nerlens Noel. I know that's a minority opinion in this particular group.
Well, we might also be willing to, I mean, now you're going to really have to pay us through the nose to do this, but we might be willing to take back some other bad salary from you too, just because we have the space, you know, something along the lines of Myers Leonard. I don't think Evan Turner returning to Philadelphia is what we need. And he's a horrible, Evan Turner might have some appeal to, I mean, not appeal, but wouldn't be as bad for some teams as others. But since we have Ben Simmons already and Turner and Simmons are a horrible fit, I don't think we would want him. But we might be willing to take on a Myers Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we're willing to give the kind of pick value that would be required to do that. We're definitely not willing to trade this year's pick. So this is our first round
this year. If you can't trade this year's pick, I think we're kind of in a non-starter at that point.
All right.
Anybody else? On Nerlens Noel. Celtics, you guys haven't gotten anything yet.
We're a little reluctant to go that direction given the way it would swallow up our salary. And we don't think that Nerlens Noel does anything to help our single biggest need, which is that if we don't grab a defensive rebound at some point, it's going to take years off Tommy Heinsohn's life.
Because this is wish fulfillment for me, and this would never happen, what about the Spurs pick plus Kyle Anderson?
Not enough.
Yeah, that was my thought too. But damn, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I still think just that with the problem with both Okafor and Noel is that both of their values are really just not as high as they should be right now. And if we have to re-sign Nerlens, it's not the end of the world. Like, I think as long as he is not, because he seems to be okay now with how much he's playing, he's not carping anymore. He and Joel Embiid get along well. So I think that he can either increase his trade value if we re-sign him, and maybe we can even get him on the cheap, depending on how restricted free agency plays out. Considering how few teams appear interested in trading for him, maybe his market will be more tepid than believed.
I mean, that's part of the issue is, like you say, Noel's value is lower than it should be, but his value shouldn't be that high. He's about to be appropriately paid. Like, he doesn't have net value.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. On the floor, really, are there any other teams that are good that could use him? I'm looking down the list here, and there aren't that many. I mean, another, like, Charlotte just traded for Plumlee, so now they're not really going to be interested anymore. I think he could have really helped Charlotte.
You know, there's Milwaukee could be something if you took back one of, you know, like, if you took back Henson's salary or Toledovich.
Toledovich actually could kind of help us as Philly.
If you don't resign Ilyasova, yeah.
Yeah, and if we're playing Ben Simmons at point guard, what kind of pick are you willing to throw in? I don't really see anyone. And would you be willing to do Thon Maker for Noel, plus we'd take on some salary?
No, Maker's too high of a pick. We wouldn't be willing to do this year's pick. We think that this is the worst year we're going to have in the foreseeable future. So, you know, 2018 lottery protected would be possible.
No, I think it's just not quite enough for me. I think it's just, especially with just the upside that Noel has defensively, I think I'm just going to hold on to him for now, unless we can get something that's more than back into the first round. And it may be possible that I'm valuing him more than Philly actually would, especially because I'm not around him every day. Maybe that's part of the reason for that. All right, we'll get to the round robin trade proposal part now that we've gotten through some of the big guys right after this. Valentine's Day is near and it's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. Thankfully, MeUndies has you covered. Pretty easy to sell these. They are the most comfortable pairs of underwear that I have ever owned. They sent me a few pairs and I actually bought some more because they were just so comfortable thanks to that sustainably sourced Modal, a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. These are unbelievably comfortable. They've got basic styles, but tons of great prints too, including special ones like flamingo, midnight night camo, even heavy petal, an edgy rose pattern exclusive for Valentine's Day. There's sure to be something for everyone. And you don't have to take my word for it on the comfort. You can try them out. If you don't love MeUndies, they'll give you your money back and let you keep the first pair. So give the gift of looking great and feeling great with the world's most comfortable underwear. Of course, you have to let them know that you came from us, number one. And number two, get 20% off your first order plus free shipping by using the URL MeUndies.com/capspace. Easy to remember because we talk about capspace all the time on the program. Go to MeUndies.com/capspace right now for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/capspace. All right, so the way we're going to do this is we're just going to go in a rotation. Guys are going to throw out trades, and we will start negotiating. Danny, why don't we start with you?
A couple of my teams are interested now that Noel and Jahlil Okafor are staying in Philadelphia, what the Sixers are looking for Rashawn Holmes, because he's a backup center that has team control after this year. So particularly the Jazz are interested in just seeing what you're asking for. We're not sure if we're going to be able to pay it, but what you're interested in.
It's going to be a first-round pick, and you know, I know you have that Golden State pick. We might need a little bit more than that. I think that first round pick, like Rashawn Holmes, is already what you're hoping that first round pick is going to become. He also has a team option on his fourth year, so you could decline that, put him into restricted free agency as well if you wanted to make sure that you retain him. I don't think that he, and especially because he's someone who can contribute right away, I don't see his value, I think he was the number 37 pick, as being, I think he's better than just like a super low end first round pick. So you're going to have to throw in more than that for him.
Okay, if that's where you are, then the Jazz and the Spurs are not interested because we have, the Jazz in particular, have other needs that we need to handle first. We could maybe circle back later on, but we need a point guard more than we need Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, the Blazers are probably out at that price as well, unless you are really interested in Noah Vonleh.
Negative.
is I think.
I do love how, like, just these statements of, oh, you might be interested in this guy who... like there's sort of this like vague hopefulness that like, oh, he was the number 8 pick, like maybe someone around the league, if we were like, this were more realistic. But so you're just sort of hoping we'll take on the persona of like one of the dumber teams in the league, and then we just don't.
He's still young.
Dan Feldman, any trades that you want to propose or players you want to talk about here?
Let's talk about Ricky Rubio. Is anybody interested in him? We're looking, as the Timberwolves, we're looking for a point guard who can kind of hold down that role for the time being while Chris Dunn develops. We see Chris Dunn as our point guard of the future, but we do want to remain competitive in the interim.
Tom Thibodeau does not feel Tony Parker is that answer, does he? And the Spurs aren't going to make that trade anyway, but I tried to make a Rubio Spurs trade work, and that was the only way, and that seems like ridiculous.
Knicks here, would you be willing to take back Brandon Jennings, who could still be kind of your bridge point guard this year? You could look to re-sign him in free agency, although he only has non-bird rights, but nonetheless. And anyway, we could build a deal around that. I don't know that we're willing to give up. In fact, I know that we're not willing to give up one of our own first rounders because we've now embraced tanking in the post-Melo era. But Rubio could help us improve defensively. He could run some pick and roll with Kristaps Porzingis. I think he would help us. We're just not willing to give up a first rounder. Is there anything else that might interest you, like maybe like a Justin Holliday, whom you would have early bird rights on, really small cap hold. You could re-sign him after you use your cap space. Some of those type of guys, or like a Lance Thomas, maybe would be a combo forward who might be able to help you, Tibbs.
Yeah, I'm sure you would love to get Rubio because he's such a prototypical triangle point guard. But yeah, I mean, that's just a little underwhelming for us. That's not really something that piques our interest.
What about Derrick Rose? You didn't even ask about Derrick Rose. What a great bridge point guard.
Yeah, I think we'll just try and sign him next summer. We can wait on Derrick Rose.
Anybody on the Nets intrigue you? We had Jeremy Lin has been injured. We could probably play Lin and Rubio together because we don't have any good players at all just to go forward. We can't give up that much because, you know, we're very draft pick poor, but would like a Chris McCullough type interest you at all?
We like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah, that's probably going to be too much. I think we are going to maybe listen on him. Maybe we can circle back there if, you know, we can't get anything else for him, but I was hoping to aim a little bit higher there in terms of a young prospect in return for him who might fit our need to create a little bit more.
Is there anybody else interested in Rubio?
I think that's all of my teams.
I mean, Milwaukee is the only one of my teams that would have any interest in him, and we just don't think we'd want another non-shooter with Giannis effectively as our point guard now.
My teams are out.
Okay, Ricky Rubio staying put for now. KP, anything you're interested in here?
Yeah, Hornets here. We would like to call up whoever's running the front office in LA for the Lakers these days. I don't know if that's Magic or Jim Buss or Mitch Kupchak and who. We are very interested in Lou Williams and would like to offer Ramon Sessions plus a draft pick for Lou Williams.
What kind of draft pick are you talking about?
We're willing to do our 2018 first round pick lottery protected.
Ooh. Yeah, first round pick is like, that's our starting point on Lou Williams. He's having a great year off the bench. Is there another team that would beat that? It's an offer we're definitely would consider.
None of my East sellers are particularly interested in Lou.
My West buyers aren't interested.
The Wizards?
No, Lou Williams doesn't make much sense for the Wizards because of our tax issues going forward.
So it would be Sessions and
a team option for next year, so you get off that salary.
And it'd be a lottery protected
2018 first rounder.
And then what? Does it become unprotected at some point, or does it become a second rounder?
Become second rounders. We can do two second rounders in 2022 and 23, or a second rounder in 23 if you want to have that extra year of potentially getting the first round pick. That's your choice.
What is the interest? Is there any interest in Nick Young? Because we sort of feel like we need to look at, not necessarily with the Hornets, but we feel like we need to look at these together because we don't want to signal to our fan base that we're taking such a step back, or signal to our young players that we're disrupting things too much. We're open to trading one of Williams or Nick Young. We don't want to trade both unless it's something overwhelming. So is there any Nick Young interest? Because we do want to see how those offers would compare.
For a first round pick?
Yeah.
And he also could be a free agent, and he's 32.
Yeah.
That answers the question, by the way, Dan. Yeah.
Okay. So we would do this Lou Williams for Sessions in a first round pick if at some point the pick becomes goes from lottery protected to unprotected as opposed to becoming second round picks, then we would do it.
All right, in 2023.
Okay.
All right, that's 7 years from now. What are the odds we're still going to be here?
MJ will still be there. But,
you don't need for his long-term thinking.
that's a great deal, I think, for LA.
Yeah, but as the Hornets, I feel like that dramatically improves the Hornets. Obviously, they've already feel like they've solved their backup center issue with Miles Plumlee. Agree to disagree on that one, but Lou Williams on a very fair contract for next year that allows them to, you know, safely add and still stay under the luxury tax. I think he makes the second unit a lot more dangerous. And even though, as you mentioned, like Indiana got better, Toronto got better, at the same time, Atlanta now is out of the playoff picture. We look very likely to make the playoffs, and I think we could make some noise with our starting lineup and now in much improved bench.
Yeah, I agree with that, KP. I like his fit there, but I think that's also just excellent value for the Lakers.
Yeah, no, I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think it's the thing that really is tough for me is just that it goes on for like 5 years potentially. You know, it's not like, okay, 3 years and then it becomes that can really complicate trading another pick.
Yeah, maybe I should have fought harder on that, but
the way you might want to do it is just like have it end in 2021, because right. then at least you could trade another pick. I think it's written right now, I think you would not even be able to trade another first round pick, because there's the possibility that it could last all the way to 2023. Like, you have to put a hard endpoint on the end of it.
Well, you would not be able to guarantee trading a first round pick, but you could put the language of 2 years after this one conveys, so you could trade the possibility of a first round pick.
And then it would have to revert to seconds.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
So, I think there'd be enough confidence in around the league for other trades that the Hornets could do that. Yeah, they're probably going to make the playoffs at some point, and this is not a huge risk, but it does limit their options.
That's right. That was stupid of me, because it would just work the same way as like the Lakers with like the trades with Phoenix and Orlando did. Mm-hmm. It would be the same kind of issue as they're dealing with now. All right, that's a good one. All right, so it's probably about time to move some of these Hawks guys who are expiring now that we're moving into a new phase. We've got Tabo Sefolosha, who I think can really help somebody. Mike Dunleavy, making $4.8 million. He's only guaranteed $1.662 million next year. Mike Scott is someone we could look to move. Chris Humphreys, Malcolm Delaney is on a good contract for next year, but could be moved for the right price. Tim Hardaway Jr., restricted free agent, been playing well lately, probably a part of our future, but again, someone we might be willing to move. Tiago Splitter, if there's any interest there. Let's start with Sefolosha, though, and maybe we'd be able to build in some of these other guys for a team that really doesn't have enough depth. Sefolosha, one of the best defensive wings in the league, even still.
Pistons here.
Hello.
What are you looking for? We're not going to give up a first round pick. We're not going to give up Stanley Johnson. But if you're selling relatively low as you go into this rebuild, we're, you know, to be candid, we're interested at that price.
Well, I think our goal, and this is going to be the goal for a lot of my teams, is maybe these guys who are about to be free agents or only have a year left aren't worth a first rounder on their own. But if we aggregate them together, maybe they might be worth a first rounder. If we give you everything that's not tied down, basically, could that get us to a first rounder?
No, because we're reasonably deep. It's more about just adding that one piece off the bench rather than filling a bunch of holes. So I don't think we're the right fit for that. If that's what you're looking for, maybe there's another team out there that's a better fit.
Hey, Clippers, you got any interest in Tabo Sefolosha? He would be a great fit for you if you wanted to give up your 2021 first round pick, lottery protected. That's something that we might be interested in.
We have very, very, very limited salary flexibility.
Full bird rights, could resign him.
Right, but what I'm saying is in terms of the hard cap.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Well, we could take back salary. That would be fine. We'd take back like a Wes Johnson or you know, whatever is needed to make the salary fit. I mean, Tabo doesn't make anything. $3.8 million.
Well, $3.8 million can be kind of a lot for us because we're very tight. But so we wouldn't do Wes Johnson for and a first for Tabo, because that's not that we don't think that's a fair return, especially because Tabo is going to be expensive very, very soon. So Wes is signed for one more year at $5.8 million and then $6.1 million. And also he has a glacial release on three pointers, and that's now an important need with JJ Redick shooting happily in a Hickory uniform. Yeah.
Well, you desperately need some defense if you're going to compete with the Warriors. So I think the hope is you got enough offense there around, you know, with all these other awesome guys. I mean, and you know, whether it's Mbah Mute you wanted us to take back. I mean, what if we could get you off of Jamal Crawford?
So, okay. So this is interesting. So you're saying something like Jamal Crawford and our first. How about this? How about Jamal Crawford and our first, and we'll figure out if we need to get some other number of players, but would you be interested in including either Malcolm Delaney or Tim Hardaway Jr. in that trade? You're getting a nice value from us with that first round pick.
You know, I think we still need both of those guys, and we could get something else. And I also think if you want us to take back Crawford's salary for next year, which I think is not good, and then he's got, I think, $3 million guaranteed the next year as well, you're probably going to need to make that like top 10 protected rather than lottery protected at that point. That 2021 first rounder, that's pretty far out in the future. But, you know, I mean, we're going to have cap space now, I think, as the Hawks, and we're going to be in a rebuilding phase, so probably not looking to use it. I mean, we're willing to take on Crawford and give you Sefolosha. So where are we at right now? I mean, would that be reasonable? If we were, when we made the initial offer, we weren't talking about taking on Crawford. But now that we are, if you could do a top 10 protection in 2021 instead of lottery, that would be enough for us to take on Crawford and send you back Cephalosha, and you know, we can make the rest of the salaries work out in some form or fashion.
Well, so
you wouldn't need to include any other salary, so it's
right.
Just
you choice. Wouldn't need to, but what I'm looking at for this is we're giving you that pick for this. We might be interested in taking on, so if you wanted to keep out Delaney and Tim Hardaway Jr. from that, that's okay, but we want to float some other guys by you to see where you see them in this process, because you know, we don't have a lot of ways to get better, especially if we trade away this pick. So
I mean, you know, Chris Humphreys, Mike Scott, like those guys are Dunleavy, even, who doesn't really fit into our plans anymore, like all those guys could potentially be a part of this.
Because if you remember, we actually traded away a couple extra guys in the trade for Carmelo Anthony, so we have roster spots, and yeah, we would be interested in Dunleavy. Would probably be number one for us because he could shoot, and he has that contract for next year, so we can keep him if we want to. And we would also be interested in Mike Scott. So if you are willing to include one or both of them, we would be happier with giving up that first round. We'd be more open to it. And the top 10 protection, if we can reach the point we're satisfied with the deal, that's not a deal breaker for us, because we feel that if we're either going to be one way or the other, so that yeah, kind of protection is not that big a deal.
All right, so I think we'd be willing to do Tabo and Dunleavy. That'll open up some time on the wing too for Prince and Bembry, who we really want to develop. We just got Malik Beasley as well. He needs to play. We just got Wancho, so we can throw in Mike. If you want Mike Scott, we'll throw him in too. That's fine.
Let me just take a quick look. I want to think about our roster spots, because we are always a good buyout candidate, but I'm just trying to piece together whether I think we're a better buyout candidate than we are a Michael Scott candidate.
So you'd still have one roster spot if you traded three for one.
Right.
That'd put you at 14.
Right. Yeah. I think that makes it better.
I mean, the only reason you might not want to do that is just to get a little more room under the hard cap to do some more stuff. But
we don't really have much in the way of flexibility. I mean, we have a really small trade exception that we're not going to use, and we already used our full MLE. So we can't do a whole heck of a lot outside of that. So yeah, but we need to figure out the resolution on the pick. So top 10 protected. Do you want to do top 10 protected in 21 and 22? And then how do we resolve this in 23? I vote for second round picks, because making that unprotected makes this a very, very different trade.
Well, can we reduce the protection down in like the last year, and then also make it a second round pick if it doesn't go at that time?
We can reduce it to 8. That's fine.
Okay, let's do that then. So top 10 protected in 21 and 22.
And that will depend on the conveyance of the other picks, but we should be fine.
Yeah, top 8 protected in 2023. And then if it does not convey at that point, it will be a second rounder, which actually won't be a terrible second rounder if it'll be in the top 8 of the second round at that point.
Correct.
All right, sign it up. That's fantastic. That Clippers team is actually looking pretty good right now. I mean, they're still not going to beat the Warriors, but they're if they can get healthy, they could be a pretty nasty team, I think.
What do you guys think of that trade from the Clippers' perspective? I think it's a good one for them.
I mean, I think I would totally do it to get off the Crawford salary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need shooting in the worst way, but I feel like they all of a sudden become like buyout central for any two guard that wants just a crap ton of minutes.
It also resolves Atlanta's roster crunch, such as it was.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to have problems creating on the second unit now. Like, Crawford did provide something there. I mean, because they already gave up Austin Rivers as well. I mean, it's basically Ray Felton is your only guy who can do anything off the dribble on the second unit. But
if only there were some
Carmelo
way to...
and Blake, and like, they can stagger all these guys, so they'll be fine there.
I just can't figure out how would you do it if you had Carmelo, Chris Paul, and Blake Griffin. Like, I got nothing.
Well, that foiled the Timberwolves' plan of trying to just take Mike Scott to reach the salary floor and get maybe somebody who can help off the bench. Yeah, I mean, we can always circle back to that if other...
Yeah, let's circle back to that, because
that's,
the Clippers
that's too
need to
small
see...
for right now.
Yeah.
These just like, hey, let's get dump a guy and get to the salary floor. There's going to be plenty of those type of options around.
So the Jazz now, especially with kind of what's been happening, the Jazz are very interested in a backup point guard. That is something that we need, and we have late first round picks. However, whatever the challenge is, figuring out who is worth it. So we want to extend two feelers at the same time. One is to the Atlanta Hawks to see if you, we will not give up a first round pick for Malcolm Delaney, but we would give up, we have a solid second, which will be, I believe it's the whoever does worse or whoever does better among the Knicks and the Pistons. So that'll probably be a solid mid second. We would do that for them. And then also we would like to talk quickly with the Minnesota Timberwolves about Tyus Jones. We would be we would happily give up one of our late firsts for him, but we don't know if that's way too low for what you're looking for.
Yeah, why don't you talk about it with Minnesota first there? It sounds like that's something you'd be more interested in.
Yeah, I think we'd be looking for better than a late first.
So Utah has our own, we have our own pick, which is probably going to be, you know, somewhere in the, like, I don't know, 22 to 26 range. I think that's pretty fair. And we could throw in that same second round pick, which is, I believe it's the worst, whoever finishes worse among the Knicks and the Pistons. That's as far as we could go, though. We just don't have that many other pieces of flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a tremendously, like, low-ball offer. It's just not quite enough for us.
Okay, Hawks, Wizards, how are you feeling?
Oh, the Wizards were interested in Tyus Jones, but if that's the price, then good luck with all that, Minnesota.
Yeah, we're looking for, like, a mid-first rounder for him, or maybe even consider, like, in the better part of the 20s, but that second rounder doesn't quite make up that difference.
I mean, if you want to burn his rookie contract with him sitting behind Chris Dunn and Ricky Rubio, be our guest.
I mean, we're going to trade Ricky Rubio. We talk about it all the time.
And that always comes to fruition.
Yeah, there was a robust market for him, as we just established.
Okay, so Hawks.
Okay, so yeah, so what was the other one? You want Malcolm Delaney for
a mid-second.
And it's Detroit and who?
Detroit and the Knicks, whoever does worse. Or no, sorry, whoever has a worse pick. So that'll probably be, let's say the Pistons miss the playoffs in a way that crushes Dan Feldman's dreams. So somewhere like 14, 15?
Yeah, I think we want to maintain some level of respectability here. Also, Delaney will only be a restricted free agent at the end of this time, too.
Oh, so. Okay, if respectability matters to you, would you want Shelvin Mack in the deal or Holometo? Because we could give you one of those guys back, and that's not as big of a downgrade, but we like Delaney with our team.
Yeah, you know what? If you want to do that pick and Holometo, you got a deal.
Okay, we're good with that.
Am I the only one who thinks that Shelvin Mack is better than Malcolm Delaney? Malcolm Delaney's currently shooting 25% on threes this year and shoots almost exclusively threes.
Well, I think it's just to get another option. Like, that was really the idea for me, and especially considering Feldman's driving up the price on Tyus Jones to comical levels, I didn't think the number of options for that first round pick were going to be very rich.
I actually don't think that's a comical level. To me, Tyus Jones is what you're hoping to get already. He's like what you have a 40% chance of getting at a pick in that range that you guys are talking about.
He's not providing value to you. He's got only two years left on his rookie deal, and one of those isn't even that cheap. So what are you waiting for?
We're gonna trade Ricky Rubio. How many times do we have to talk about it?
I love this deal for the Hawks, by the way.
I'm going to co-sign KP here, and I think Mac is a little better, but I would be curious to get Delaney into that system to see for certain. I don't think that's a lock, and like you said, Danny, you do have multiple options. You can always go back to Mac.
Which you might say would be the return of the Mac.
Once again.
The return to the Mac. All right, this is all getting cut.
Oh, come on. It was gold, Jerry. Gold.
We'll take a quick break here before we get into the backup center market, but first this from Indochino. If you are in the market for a new suit, as I often was as a lawyer, Indochino is the way to get the best fitting suit for the best price. I wish I had actually known about Indochino when I was a lawyer. I had to go to court all the time, bought all these suits, spent up to, and in one case, even over $1,000. That one was ostensibly a made-to-measure suit and actually did not fit as well as my Indochino suit, which starts at just $389 when you enter the familiar cap space code at checkout. You can either go into one of their North American showrooms and get measured, or they have a tutorial for you to get measured yourself on their website. You send in those 14 customized measurements. You can pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns, customize everything from the lapels to the pleats to the jacket lining, the angle of the pockets, all sorts of stuff. Really, every possible aspect of the suit can be customized. 4 weeks later, it arrives at your door. You don't have to worry about bad-fitting suits, expensive trips to the tailor, trying to find the right suit off the rack, which I never could. Indochino takes care of all that for you. Indochino.com, promo code CAPSPACE to let them know that you came from us, and also to get up to 50% off the regular price for just $389 plus free shipping. Indochino.com, promo code CAPSPACE. Get ready to look like $1 million. All right, who's up next here? Dan, did you want to propose something?
Sure. Timberwolves here. We'd like to trade Ricky Rubio. Okay. Mavericks here. Andrew Bogut to the highest bidder, whatever that is. We're moving him.
I mean, my teams can't make a move for Andrew Bogut before we explore the rest of the backup center market, so we'd kindly request a little patience here.
Yeah, we can wait on that. Do you want to throw out a more highly coveted backup center if such a person exists so we can get to that?
All right, well, Celtics here. We are interested in Kyle O'Quinn from the New York Knicks and would like to offer James Young and Jordan Mickey for him.
We're certainly willing to explore moving him at this point. James Young doesn't help us much because he already declined his rookie option. Would you be willing to throw Demetrius Jackson into that as well?
Presumably, we highly value Demetrius Jackson given the contract that we gave him that was richer than many first-round rookie contracts. I mean, we could upgrade that by adding in one of the seconds we have this year, but you should also perhaps talk to the Blazers GM wants to jump in here and say, note that they are also interested in Kyle O'Quinn. You know, whether do you have any interest in Ed Davis in return or Festus Ezeli to just kind of get off that salary?
No, I think O'Quinn has more value to us than that. I mean, he's now kind of our third to fourth center, if you want to throw Porzingis in there too, because I guess we still have Noah on the team. But no, I think he has value as a solid enough backup center.
Yeah, I mean, Blazers would be willing to offer picks as well. Second round picks as well. So
Ed Davis and a second rounder for Kyle O'Quinn.
Yeah, ideally we'd like to try to get Justin Holiday if we could too, but
you know, Holiday I think has some value to us because of his low cap hold and his early bird rights.
Let's see. Can you make that move, Davis, for O'Quinn? I don't think that works. I think that's why I had something else in there.
To throw, we'd need to throw in a little bit more.
But you could put in one of the guys you were going to cut for that Clippers trade.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, I'm sure we could do that very easily.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. So the Celtics aren't willing to put in Demetrius Jackson?
No.
He is guaranteed for $650K next year.
We guaranteed him for a reason. We think he's a useful player. And we think
You're trying to absolutely maximize as much space as you can.
We think after he wins Utah Jazz Summer League MVP next year, he'll have trade value. let's see here. So both.
Well, yeah, but that'll be after the free agent period already. So you're going to need roster spots. You're going to need like as much space as you can get. Like you're going to be a struggle to fit a max salary in. That's why I'm thinking he's expendable for you.
Look, we signed him to that deal for a reason. Okay. I don't know what that reason is, but we signed him to that deal for a reason.
Well, yeah, let's do that Portland deal then. That's fine.
Okay, so Ed Davis, and so we don't have our 2017 pick. It's the 2018 worst of ours in Sacramento's.
Yeah, that won't be too awful.
Okay, nice.
I think Ed Davis is way better than Kyle O'Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, from the Blazers' standpoint, it's partially to move off his salary. We think that O'Quinn is a better fit for our needs right now because of the rim protection and all that. And basically, we just got to shake things up because it's not working.
And that always works.
Exactly.
just for clarification, I believe the Blazers, because they're getting two players back in the deal and sending one, correct?
Yes. So we will have to waive Tim Quarterman.
Okay.
Unless anyone's interested.
Who do you want out of Plumlee, Vujicic? Well, Vujicic actually cannot be traded this year.
Without his consent?
Because this is his second year in a row.
We will assume he doesn't want to leave the triangle. I mean, who would want to leave the warm embrace of Phil Jackson's bosom? Let's go.
Oh, you gotta go Plumlee. Yeah, Plumlee's on the same team.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
He has the money for next year. That's not a responsible thing, though. It's great.
He does
only $100,000.
Well, with that luxury tax bill coming.
No, I have him as non-guaranteed through 630, then $100K that guaranteed thereafter.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
No, I mean, and that's short-lived reunions for all.
All right, so my turn here. again, with Miami, similar idea with some of these other ones. We would really like, we cannot take on long-term salary, which complicates things. But James Johnson, Deion Waiters, Willie Reed, Derek Williams, Wayne Ellington. I think those guys, some combination of those guys can help people. We frustratingly have won 10 in a row right now. We cannot have that. This is our one chance to be bad and get a pick. So sorry, Eric Spoelstra, you've done an amazing job, but I'm going to pull the rug out from under you if we can actually get some value back in return. So who might have some interest in some combination or all of those players? And really, I think if we could just get one first round pick for any combination of those guys, whatever you want, and not take any salary back, we're all in.
The Jazz are figuring out if they can do anything here that makes sense now.
Also might be willing to just move one of those guys for a lesser asset or someone on a very cheap contract who has some slight modicum of potential. Memphis, you got any interest in any of those guys?
Well, the problem is that we don't have, we have some interest in a couple of those guys, but we don't really have salary that works unless...
What about like Vince Carter?
Oh, getting rid of the sentimental favorite?
And Brandon Wright, he's under contract for next year.
He's under contract for next year. He's making about $6 million next year. So we assumed that you were not interested. However, if you wanted to find a third party with him, we could figure something out as well. James Johnson. So we don't have a first to give for millennia, but we'd theoretically be interested in a second in a deal for that, but a second for like James Johnson and whatever else you want to give up that can fit in for the legendary.
If you wanted, I mean, we would be willing to take back either a Jarrell Martin or a Deontay Davis. If you wanted to do Deion Waiters, who I think could actually help the Grizzlies, give them some scoring on the second unit that they don't really have, and send us back Vince Carter and either Martin or Davis, and you can get Waiters and James Johnson for that. That's one proposal. If there are other teams out there, I don't want to go too far down this road. I want to weigh everything that's out there, but it doesn't sound like too much is interested. But that's kind of the range that we're talking about here.
We like Jarrell Martin quite a bit, but what we could do is we have, so our second round picks are actually less constrained than you're thinking of, than I was previously thinking of. Our first round picks are messed up for a long time, but our second round picks, we have our own as long as we finish outside of the top five, which we're not, outside the bottom five, so we're good on that. So we would much rather do Vince Carter and a second, and maybe we could throw in some future second asset instead of Jarrell Martin, because we like his potential here. Well, we wanted to see how you feel about that.
Yeah, all that is stuff that I'm thinking about, but is there any other teams that really would want, just that are decent teams that really want to improve their depth for this year? Charlotte, I guess you already made a trade. Are you feeling okay about everything now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're not prepared to give up, you know, a lot of pick value. I mean, already traded a first round pick, and you know, Washington is interested in some depth, but that's way too much. That's too much money for us to really match, unless you want to take back some, like an Andrew Nicholson or someone like that.
Yeah, you don't really have anything in the way of expiring contracts, do you, Washington?
Just Trey Burke, and then we also our number one priority by far is backup point guard, and you're not really trading a backup point guard, so.
Yeah, you don't have any interest in Tyler Johnson, I assume, because of the long-term salary that he has?
Absolutely not, no.
That balloon payment. Yeah, Boston, you guys are still looking for just some more force and firepower. James Johnson, Willie Reed, those do anything for you?
Willie Reed does a little something for us, but again...
Could send us back Tyler Zeller?
But again, his strength is not exactly defensive rebounding, and that's our number one priority.
Yeah, but so you definitely there's need some other guys shot we'd like blocking,
to,
though.
There's some other guys we'd like to explore first before we go down that road.
So anybody else interested in some of these Miami guys?
Yeah, no.
Cleveland, you missed out on Kevin Love. Some of these guys could give you, I mean, Deion Waiters, you're not going to be interested in, I assume, but James Johnson could really help you against the Warriors.
I don't think we're willing to add that much to our luxury tax bill.
Well, do you have any expiring salary you could send back?
No.
I mean, well, you could just put together like Chris Anderson and James Jones and...
We're already planning to trade those guys elsewhere, so...
Ah, okay.
Houston here. Would you be interested in, because KJ McDaniels has a, he, you you could get out of his contract. He has a team option for next year. You could actually even keep him if you wanted to. So we could do, you it looks like you were going to offer a second round pick, or for a second round pick from Memphis. We have a couple of second round picks for this year that are better than the one that Memphis could give up, and that would be in 2018, but we could give them up for this year, and we could use salary filler KJ McDaniels. We have Tyler Ennis, who is expiring because we declined his option. Would you be more interested in that for James Johnson? And we'll have to make sure the cap works, but we could talk about Deion Waiters as well.
You know, if you're talking about giving up 2 second rounders now,
1 second, but a better second than you're giving up. Yeah, that's the current idea. And you'd also be getting a flyer on Tyler Ennis. You'd be getting a flyer on KJ McDaniels, and you would have a team option on him. So you could either keep him for $3 million, or you could use his restricted rights, or you could just let him go, whatever the heck you want.
You know, we've actually had some success in Miami with players like KJ McDaniels, that athletic guys. Memphis, you willing to increase your offer at all and put in Martin or Deontay Davis? I mean, Memphis, like, you're not going to be any good 2 years from now anyway. Might as well just go for it these next couple of years.
That's true, but we don't really have a ton more. So you're basically Jarrell Martin. So you would do the deal if it was Vince Carter and Jarrell Martin for those two guys?
Yeah, I think I like Jarrell Martin more than a second round pick at this point.
Would you include Willie Reed in that deal as well?
Yeah, I don't know that he really helps you that much, Memphis. But
the idea would be that he has a very cheap contract, and we're still looking to move Brandon Wright. So theoretically, if we move Brandon Wright, then we have a little bit of cover, and we have an extra roster spot anyway. We have an extra roster spot anyway, having already waived Trey Williams, and Tony Douglas is not good enough for us to be concerned. So
yeah, I like Jarrell Martin better than KJ McDaniels. So yeah, let's do that. Let's do that, Memphis.
Okay.
So recap that one for us.
Sure. So that trade is Jarrell Martin and Vince Carter for James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and Willie Reed.
Is the draft pick still in there?
No, correct?
Correct.
James Johnson on the Rockets would have been so much fun, though.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, I liked it too, but I didn't think it was worth giving up like a ton for it, considering he's just a straight rental.
So does that salary work?
Wait, is Waiters in there?
Yes.
Willie Reed can be minimum salary exception, right?
Yes.
And doesn't need to be, so. Okay.
While we're at it, Miami, we probably want to hold on to Goran Dragic through the summer, but if anyone is willing to give us more than just one lower end first round pick, we're willing to listen. Is anyone willing to make that kind of a deal to even talk about it?
Well, I'll just throw this out there. I don't see a pathway to it, but putting this out there because maybe I'm missing something. A offer I plan to make as the Nuggets before we acquired Paul Millsap was maybe something based around Moutier for Dragic.
That's probably one that we would want to redo in the summer.
Well, the value to us is for this playoff.
This playoff run.
Right. Because we're not really sure where Murray's gonna fit, or where Moutier is gonna fit in with Murray in the long term. But to get better in the short term with Dragic, who's playing very well, maybe Dragic would help us now. But that's probably not a deal we'll have the same interest in the summer.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm also not sure possible now that we've taken on all this salary with Millsap. In fact, I don't really see a pathway, but if there's something that you do, I want to throw it out there.
So Denver is basically at the cap right now.
Yeah, they would probably have to move Fareed, but probably not to the Heat.
Yeah, because we don't want to take on anything longer term with Fareed.
I'm sure the Nets would be interested in one of the Nuggets' million first-round picks for Fareed, though. Maybe that could be a possibility.
Yeah, see, now we're getting too steep. We were a little nervous about trading just Moutier for Dragic. Now, I mean, Fareed is starting to play better. He's finding a decent fit with Jokic. And then adding another first rounder on top of it, it's definitely getting too steep for us. So if somebody wanted to give value for Fareed.
I mean, if you aggregate Barton Chandler, or not Chandler, Barton Moutier and who's the other person I'm thinking of? Oh, Mike Miller. Does that get you there? Not quite.
Well, if it was done in conjunction with one of the other trades, would it maybe work?
Yeah, I guess you could turn that original Atlanta trade into a three-team trade.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to take on anything major in terms of salary going forward, we would be interested in doing that as Miami.
The catch is, though, we want value back for Bart. We don't want to just throw him in. Like, we see Moutier for Dragic is fair, but when you start having to add these players to aggregate, we want something else in return.
No, I agree, and Barton, we wouldn't mind taking that salary, but...
Right, he's always flippable.
Yeah, could you throw... Well, how much more do we need if it's Miller and Moutier for Dragic? Dragic, we still need like another like $6 or $7 million, huh?
I don't think it's quite that much. You only need... Wait, if it's Were you including Barton?
No, we're not including Barton.
Okay, yeah, then because you need to get to 10.9 million. Miller and Moutier get you to 6.7 million. Right.
Could we?
Yeah. What about Jameer? Jameer doesn't. He has money for next year, but somebody else might
be interested. They need Jameer still too, because if they're trading away Moutier now, I guess they could have just Murray be the backup point guard. But yeah, we're not interested in Jameer.
I was going to say Trey Burke, but Washington can't take back salary really beyond this season.
Yeah, the Nets would certainly have interest in Fareed, and I think we would be willing to just take him into cap space, actually.
Oh my God, I was just thinking about if this would be more easily facilitated to include the Clippers trade as well, but I'm not there yet.
Cleveland would take Jameer Nelson into cap space. Or into
do you have an exception big enough?
Yeah.
Yes. I think you do.
So would sending Jameer Nelson to Cleveland alone make it work, or there'd still need to be other...
Nelson, Miller, and Moutier works, yes. And then Miami would just immediately reroute Nelson to Cleveland.
Where would Miller go?
Miller would stay in Miami since he does not have guaranteed salary for next year, does he?
He does not.
Yeah, I would do that as Miami. I think Moutier is a little bit underrated at this moment. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but in a couple of years, I think he could actually be a part of Miami's future, and he probably won't be really good until after he's due for restricted free agency, so I might actually be able to get him on a cheaper long-term deal as well. I think that's a deal that I would do if I were the Heat.
So
are we in agreement?
Well, so if I'm looking at the trade machine correctly, I'm not sure this works. So we're looking at it as a four-team trade with that Millsap trade?
No, take the Millsap trade out of it.
Okay.
Because now Denver is operating as an over-the-cap team and just needs to get within $5 million of Dragic salary, which Nelson, Miller, and Moutier does.
Yeah, we have no problem sending out Miller. We would like a second rounder from the Cavs for Jameer.
I mean, we're adding a lot of salary and facilitating this great trade that you're making with Miami. We have a lot of leverage here. You can't make this trade without us. Why are we being leveraged?
Well, Nets
here, we would just take Jameer Nelson into space for nothing. I mean, there are a ton of teams that would take Jameer Nelson into space. So yeah, Cleveland's going to have to.
Well, but Jameer has another year under contract, so I'm not sure there are that many teams.
Well, I've got a few teams.
I mean,
Brooklyn foremost among them. I mean, we just every point guard we have on the roster is snake bitten. He would be a great mentor for our young kids who don't really exist yet.
The situation we have is our 2021 second round pick, along with 2022, are currently encumbered by the fact that they go to Atlanta in the event that we finish in the top 10 picks in both 2019 and 2020. And I can't even get through this without laughing because obviously that's not going to happen.
I'll tell you what here too. As Miami, if you want to just dump Chris Anderson on us too, just via the minimum exception, you can trade him back. We can make that part of that deal too, if that makes you feel better about trading that second rounder to Denver.
Absolutely does. But would you take Jordan? I guess you're running out of roster spits at some point, but Jordan McRae would be nice to dump as well.
Don't push your luck. Are we good on this? I think we're good on this. This seems like a fair trade.
Yeah. All right. Nuggets are good.
The Nuggets just completely remaking this squad. Crazy.
Poor Blazers.
That's a nasty team right now.
Yeah.
And they still have Jamal Murray on the roster as well. So that's...
And Jokic, obviously.
And... Yeah. All their first round picks?
Yes.
And the Memphis pick.
So yes. Miami's going to have to structure some of these trades so that they try to cut as few people as possible, I guess.
That's fine. We can deal with that.
Yeah, we can move on. We've got Luke Babbitt. We've got Derek Williams. We have some eminently cuttable guys.
Yeah, I'm glad I threw that out there because that was my big idea going in for the Nuggets was Moutier for Dragic. And I was a little disappointed to get Paul Millsap only because I'm like, well, that probably ruins that idea. But I'm glad we found
it. No, and trading for... Trading for Dragic makes way more sense now that you have Millsap. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to run into some big problems with the tax now with Gallo having to re-sign him. And if you're going to re-sign Millsap as well, and you've also got Dragic, you probably run into some trouble. But
we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
You could still move on from Chandler. You could still move on from Fareed. Like you'd be all right. I mean, having Nikola Jokic making like $1 million a year for the next 2 years helps.
Honestly, we could also flip Dragic, because I do think at some point Murray is going to supplant him. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be, but I don't think it's going to be the rest of this season, which is why we want Dragic now, but it could be the summer.
Great point. Who's next here?
Is this a good opportunity to revisit Andrew Bogut as somebody who is definite to move whatever the best offer is?
Well, let's do Taj Gibson before.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Okay, so sounds good. You want to make me an offer for Taj Gibson? I assume Boston. Let's hear it.
Yes, Celtics here. We were planning to offer Tyler Zeller in our 2018 first round pick.
Ooh.
Sold.
Okay. Well, there we go.
unless anyone can beat that offer, I would definitely do that trade.
Toronto actually might have been willing to offer more, but obviously they are out of the market after landing Serge Ibaka.
God, the top of the East is so filthy now.
I mean, teams are loading up, and none of these teams can even come close to being the Warriors anyway.
But I think they sense some vulnerability in Cleveland.
Yeah, that could be the case. Well, they have Jameer Nelson now. They got some playmakers.
You assume the Warriors are going to win their first round playoff matchup against these Nuggets?
That would actually be one of the craziest series we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll first round pick for expiring contract, Paul Millsap. I mean, yeah, Boston's probably going to be pretty good that year, but we're fine with that.
All right.
I'm sorry, not Paul Millsap, Taj Gibson.
Just Boston operating from such a position of strength with all those draft picks where you can blow away the Bulls with that offer.
Just for my own sanity, is Boston going to throw any protection on that pick?
He did not say protected. So.
I know. I'm not too worried about it. I gotta be honest. Okay. Again, if this was real life, we'd probably fight harder, but I just want to get the deal done.
That's the the Billy the sort King of motto. Mentality that yeah the Billy King motto.
that Boston benefited so much from a little while ago.
Yeah.
And Chicago also blanching a bit here at the way some of these East teams are loading up. It makes sense really to go in the opposite direction. And maybe this is a time too to talk about Nikola Mirotic, see if there's any interest in him as a restricted free agent whom you also would have full bird rights on to re-sign.
So Indiana was interested, but now that the JJ Redick trade came along, that's off the table for us.
Washington, is there anything that you might be willing to offer?
No, I mean, remember our luxury tax issues for next year. We're not going deep into the tax for Nikola Mirotic.
Well, if you throw enough back in terms of assets, maybe we'll take one of your crappy contracts as well.
Yeah.
Or we could find a third team who would be willing to take that. We're looking right here, Brooklyn Nets would be interested. Andrew Nixon might even play for us. Who knows?
I don't know, though. I mean, how much am I willing to pay Mirotic if he's not a starter for me? I just say I'd rather wait and see, you know, what the market looks like for him before committing to that.
Knicks here. We would be willing to take Jan Mahimi and Andrew Nicholson for Joakim Noah.
Jan Mahimi and Andrew Nicholson for Joakim Noah. Huh. So that gets me off of $23 million for this year for an exchange. I'm picking up about 16 or about 17 million.
Yeah, you're saving, I think, about 5 million per season.
But knowing that Noah's...
Hey, he's been healthier than Mahinmi.
That's true. I think I would do that deal.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I did not see that coming.
Because we think, actually, if Mahinmi can play again, I think that actually gives us some upside as the Knicks. I think he could be a good fit next to Porzingis at times. But yeah, I just thought of that right now.
Why do the Wizards do that?
Save 5 million a year. They're running into the tax. I mean, Nicholson's salary is horrible.
And then also get guaranteed production this year, which is the most important, you know, is an important year for them. Again, the East is looking much more difficult than it was a couple hours ago at the start of this mock trade deadline. But, you know, they're not far out of third.
Yeah, I like that trade.
That's really
I think that's good, because I think Mahimi to me is more likely to be better than Noah going forward. It's just like a play that's got some upside. Maybe if he plays well, we could move him again. I think he's more likely to be movable in the future. And the Nicholson thing, you know, again, we're rebuilding. We'll be our taking him on is not the end of the world. Like I know we're the Knicks, but we're actually going to be sane now, and we're not going to just throw every single piece of cap space that we have this offseason.
It makes it more reasonable for Washington to max Otto Porter and still avoid the luxury tax, or at least pay minimal tax.
Yeah, I mean, because it's good to take advantage of the text, right? And I just think Noah is so bad, like that's why I just wanted to move on from him as the Knicks. And we've got some other centers as well, and I think just Mahimi is more likely to rehab his value in future years, but maybe Noah has more value this year. Although Mahimi did practice.
While we're on the Wizards, can I throw out a package here?
Do we have that? We got that one logged down.
Yep.
Yeah, just Nicholson Nicholson and Mahimi for Noah, right? That's the whole deal.
Yep. No.
Yes, picks. And that works. Salary wise,
wait, does that work? Salary wise, I think it does. Let me throw it in the machine. Fails.
It does not.
Let's see.
How much more do you need?
It's 33,147.
Well, then just combine it with the Melo trade.
Well, we'll just take Maurice Endor, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And then nobody has to waive anybody. So fantastic. Knicks totally rebuilding things here.
God, despite still having a ton of bigs who can't shoot.
Okay, let me sort through this real quick. I don't know if I can keep up with all these Knicks trades.
Me neither.
The Knicks roster looks completely different. We haven't done anything with Courtney Lee either. That's an interesting one. Anyway, Washington has a package of Trey Burke, Marcus Thornton, and second round picks the next two seasons. And there's a couple of targets we have. First off, we'd like to offer this to the New Orleans Pelicans for Tim Frazier and Terrence Jones.
So it's Burke, 2 second rounders, and
Marcus Thornton. So no salary beyond this season, and you just get 2 second round picks for your troubles.
Yeah, not really interested in that. Both those players we think have more value than that.
Well, I mean, Jones has no value to you because you have no rights to him, but okay.
He's playing well for us at times.
So that you can get to 32 wins?
Trying to save our jobs here.
All right, then we would like to offer that same package to the Sacramento Kings for Ty Lawson and Omri Caspi.
Yeah, same issue where Lawson's found some spots where he's playing decently well for us. Caspi seems to be liked in the locker room. We don't know exactly where we're going, but we don't want to take that step back for that packet.
All right. And then while we can't take it on with the same deal, then go back to the Knicks, our old friends over there, Trey Burke in this year's second round pick for Brandon Jennings.
Well, I wanted to actually make an offer to Charlotte first as the Knicks. You may not be interested in this now.
Charlotte, having gotten Lou Williams, is no longer in the market for a backup point guard.
Yeah. No, I guess that's true. You just kind of use him in that role.
Yep.
That's too bad. I thought that was a pretty good one, but that's fine. They already, I should have jumped on that when I had the chance.
Well, you know what's interesting here is, I'd prioritize Jennings much more for Charlotte than for Washington, but because of the fact that I like Lou Williams so much better for them, it still didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. And Lou is not really a point guard, but he, in terms of getting others involved, but he at least can create something on the second unit. Trey Burke and the second rounder for Brandon Jennings.
Yep.
And that's your own second rounder?
Yes.
Sold.
All right. A fruitful relationship between the Knicks and Wizards front offices.
And does that work straight up? Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think Burke has started to play better as the year has gone on. We have restricted rights on him. Maybe we can get him at a reasonable price to be our backup point guard going forward. And if we let him go, we got the second rounder anyway.
And that makes me feel a little bit better as the Jazz, because Jennings is another guy that I had considered, but Burke plus a decent enough second is probably better than we would have given up anyway.
Yeah, we still have Ed Davis on our team now.
It's Knicks roster.
We just got to go through these Knicks and Nuggets rosters at the end of this to just see what the hell we even have. I mean, I've been hinkying it, and I think I've been doing a good job in each individual trade, and I have no idea what's even on the roster anymore.
You still have Derrick Rose somehow.
Yeah, and we still have Courtney Lee. Like, I don't think our team is actually that bad still, other than just being a little overloaded at the center position. I mean, we have nothing that even approximates a three on the team right now.
I guess
Courtney Lee is
Thomas.
Yeah,
Justin Holiday.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we still have and Holiday. I think we still want to hold on to. So
yeah, right now you'd be starting Derrick Rose and Austin Rivers. That's fantastic.
Oh yeah, we've Austin Rivers. Oh man, wow, this is just completely insane. Can you imagine what would happen in the New York media if all this happened? It'd be completely insane. We'll be back to see whether the Magic can move Mario Hezonja momentarily, but first, this from Betterment. I know that a lot of my listeners are getting to the point now where maybe you've worked for a few years, starting to build up some assets, and you need a way to invest. If you're in that situation, you should consider Betterment, the largest independent automated investing service out there. They make it easier, more straightforward, and less expensive to invest. It's built on smarter, cutting-edge technology to bring you sophisticated investing and financial advice, such as Smart Deposit, which is a cool tool that basically takes any money in your checking account over a certain amount that you need to live on and automatically invests it for you. It's a great way to smooth out your consumption if you're a freelancer, you don't have a steady income, for example. All of this sophisticated investing and financial advice is available at a lower cost than more traditional financial services. And that's why more than 150,000 customers choose Betterment's advanced advice algorithms and their beautiful user interface to manage over $4 billion of their dollars. This is the perfect time to get started with Betterment and saving for your retirement or any other financial goals you might have, because Dunktown listeners can get up to 6 months of no fees. Learn how and let them know that you came from us at betterment.com/capspace. That's betterment.com/capspace. Investing made better.
So anybody else got some specific proposals they want to throw out there at this point?
I pretty much through all mine.
Yeah, no, just keep going, man.
No, I got through all of mine. I'm done. Only other thing I want to accomplish now is getting off of Jordan McRae's salary. So
how about is there any interest in Mario Hezonja from Orlando? I mean, we would be willing to take, I think, even like a late first rounder of him at this point.
Oklahoma City would be interested if that's the asking price, and considering Orlando's history, that seems like a pretty common asking price.
It's not a top 55 protected second rounder, so we do want slightly more than that at least.
Okay, so we have Boston's second rounder next year, top 55 protected. So no, that wouldn't work. It's hard for Oklahoma City because we don't know exactly how good we're going to be next year, so that actually works to your favor. If it's top 45 our 2018 second rounder, top 45 protected.
I was bullshitting about that. I want a first round pick
for Hezonja.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not giving him up for a second rounder. He at least has, like, even if he has a 10% chance of working out to be anything, he's better than a second rounder. And
good luck with that. I'm the Archbishop, but nope.
Okay, so nobody even willing to go up a late first rounder for Hezonja at this point. Only 21 years old, though. He can hit some shots. Like, he's got quick feet. He's got some talent, even though he's been terrible.
Yeah, no way any of my teams come close to that. Maybe there's just, like, this is an example of where there's, like, a little too much of a limited market, because there's only four of us. Maybe if there were 29 other GMs, somebody would want him.
Yeah.
But all of my teams think that, no, he's nowhere near that good.
Well, let me see if I can do some self-dealing here, because I actually might be willing to consider that.
I think I can speak for everybody that if you have one of your teams give a first-round pick for Hezonja, that we're okay with the Magic doing that.
Yes.
Well, does somebody want to take over for one of my teams, or would none of you think about doing that, even if you...
I think one of us would need to take over the Magic, because you might be the person who's actually interested in Hezonja.
So which of your teams is this, Nate?
I'm thinking about Philly, Brooklyn.
I mean, Brooklyn doesn't have picks. Philly, I guess, you know, they've got so many picks that maybe it makes sense.
But they don't have late picks, do they? I don't think they have any late picks left.
Well, they might be willing to put in Furkan Korkmaz, the rights to him, 2016 number 26 pick, Turkish wing. Because Hezonja actually does fit in with kind of what we're trying to do in theory, if he could evolve.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest issue for Philly is the roster spot. Like, that makes more sense to me in the summer when the roster is more fluid. But, like, I guess you just waive Chase and Randall.
We could move on from Sergio Rodriguez. That salary would fit. So Hezonja's value is really that low, huh? You guys think that Korkmaz and Sergio Rodriguez would be a fair return for him? I don't think the Magic would actually do that.
He's not cheap. He's making $4 million a year, and he has not shown anything in the NBA. So, yeah.
What do we think of Korkmaz a year later?
I can't say I've looked really at his translations.
I haven't followed him closely.
I feel like I need to change the sponsorship on Basketball Reference to Nate after this.
All right. Well, I don't, as Orlando, I don't think that's enough to get it done. So I think they're just going to hold on to him at this point, have him play Summer League or whatever. Hopefully he can just do a bit better. While we're on the subject of Orlando, how about Nick Vucevic? Any interest in him? We would give him up for a bad first round pick or something along those lines, or a decent prospect who is a wing.
None of my teams really have the combination of flexibility and need to make that happen.
That doesn't really make sense for my teams.
Yeah, my teams either.
All right, Nick Vucevic, holding on to him.
It's almost as if you load up on a lot of big men in a league where most teams are set with big men, you're kind of stuck.
Jeff Green is a $15 million expiring salary. If anyone wants to dump some money and maybe give me an asset back, that might be potential. Or just if you're a team that thinks he can help you a little bit this year and just wants to match the salary and give me like a second rounder or something, that would be another potential avenue there.
How much of an asset? As the Houston Rockets, I'm intrigued with the idea, even though certain members in our organization are bigger fans of Corey Brewer being a part of a trade for Jeff Green.
Yeah, you know, because Brewer under contract for a little over $7 million next year. That's not good salary, so that gets Houston off of that. I think, what else would you be willing to throw in, though, as the price? I mean, if you want to dump Corey Brewer, that's basically $7 million in dead salary. What are you willing to throw in to make that happen? I assume KJ McDaniels would be part of that, but that's not enough for me to want to just take on that Brewer salary for next year.
We have a middle second round pick next year. We have, so for 2017, we have Denver and Portland's picks. So we could consider putting Denver's pick in this, which, considering you also get a lottery ticket in KJ McDaniels, I think that's a fair return. If you want Tyler Ennis, you can get Tyler Ennis.
Well, it might be needed to match the salary, but no, he doesn't help at all, especially because he's not under contract for next year, so you declined his option. What about Zoe Key, your guy you have the draft pick rights to, 2016 number 43 pick, and another second rounder, the better of that Portland and Denver second rounders?
We think that's a lot to give up for just that kind of salary flexibility at this point. If we feel that Corey Brewer just getting out of it for next year would be a lot cheaper than that at $7 million. We're giving you a lot of lottery tickets, so to give up Zucci as well would be too much.
Well, Jeff Green helps you for this year too.
He does, but not enough to make it to start giving up those kind of assets. We're excited about our possibilities, and having another cost-controlled player that we can get on a reasonable contract would be a big help for us. And we already know that we chose him for a reason.
Montrezl Harrell, same thing. Not interested in giving
not
him
interested.
Up.
Not interested. No, we like him.
All right. I guess we can't get to a deal there. I think a second rounder is just too not enough to be willing to take on that Corey Brewer salary. Anybody else? Jeff Green?
Kings here. If you would like to maybe go a different direction with it, Jeff Green, and we can talk about the asset for Rudy Gay to get Gay's bird rights, if that interests you.
So you're saying I'm giving you an asset?
Right.
Gay's bird rights don't mean that much to a team that's under the cap, do they? I mean, you're mostly looking at teams that would be over the cap that would want that.
That's exactly right. I don't think that really does it for a Sacramento, but thanks for asking.
I mean, Portland would have some interest in a Myers Leonard and Festus Ezeli for Jeff Green deal, but I don't think we're going to want to give up the pick compensation necessary to make that worth your while.
No, I think it would be at least a first rounder to take on Myers Leonard.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do that.
All right, no love for Jeff Green. He might get bought out. That's the other thing, too, if you really want him. I was hoping, just because he's an expiring contract, that a team looking to dump salary would be willing to give up something significant, but it doesn't look like that move is out there necessarily.
I think part of the problem is he makes so much money that some like middling guys who are dumpable, it just doesn't fit.
Well, is there anyone that you had in mind?
No.
So you got to do PJ Tucker, right, Dan?
Sure. We want to do that one now?
Yeah, we can finish up after that.
So PJ Tucker, we need a first round pick. If we don't get a first round pick, we're going to keep him. So let's start with that. Is anybody willing to offer a first round pick to the Suns or an equivalent asset?
Wow. So much has happened that I think like it's become pretty difficult. Where are you guys at now, Clippers? Do you have anything that you could trade for PJ Tucker? You guys like
no
him?
No, we also got Tavo in the other trade, so we don't have as much of a need. We actually have some forward defenders now, but we don't have assets. We're pretty much at our limit now.
Toronto, no interest?
Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I don't think we can match salary to do it anyway, and we wouldn't give up a first round pick, I don't think. But yeah, we no longer have any bad salary because all our bad salary got traded to Orlando.
All right, I guess there's nothing for PJ Tucker. My teams,
if I settled,
don't really have any interest.
If I settled for a high second rounder, is that open it up for anybody, or is it still no?
I mean, Indiana would have some interest in Tucker, but we really don't have a high second rounder because of the Thaddeus Young trade, that pick that's top 15 protected, reverse protected to Brooklyn. So
I mean, what about like an actual player to send back for Tucker?
Just an idea. It's not one of my teams, but Boston has Minnesota's second round pick. Would that be something that would be interesting to them?
Boston would rather just play Jaylen Brown in that role.
Okay, I'm good with that.
at least Boston's management. I don't know if Brad Stevens would agree on that necessarily. I mean, if you're trying to guard LeBron, PJ Tucker is one of your best guys out there, or Kevin Love for that matter.
Yeah.
We would also,
like, Jaylen Braun can't guard either of those guys, right?
It doesn't have to be a first rounder, you know, a 2017 first rounder. We would be open to something, you know, deeper into the future.
I mean, matching salary is still an issue there too. We'd have to give up Jarebko, and Jarebko is a useful player to us. Suddenly it's not that big of an upgrade to go from Jarebko to PJ Tucker, as opposed to, you know, if it's dead salary at PJ Tucker.
How would the Suns, how would you feel about, I think we'd have to add more salary filler, but KJ McDaniels, and so one of our two middle second round picks.
Yeah, that's not terrible considering what other offers are rolling in, but I think we'd just be inclined to keep Tucker.
Do you think you're going to re-sign him?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not really sure 100% what we're doing, but it seems like we'd be inclined to keep Tucker. It's not a little better than that.
Maybe you could do, you might be willing to give up a first rounder if you were able to do the Corey Brewer dump as well, Houston, and you get PJ Tucker back?
Yeah, we'd definitely be open to that.
Would you be, okay, so you have some interesting fly, so I think that's a little bit rich for us, but you might have enough talent to come back the other way that we could make it work. I'm looking at your roster to see what might make some sense there.
You know, if Phoenix were interested in Jeremy Lamb, Charlotte would do that, I think.
So Lamb and a first rounder?
No, Jeremy Lamb.
And Jeremy Lamb as well.
Yeah, I think we're a little more interested.
He's part of the trip.
Okay. What about, I'm trying to figure out, because I'm assuming you would not include TJ Warner, Tyler Ulis in that deal. Is that reasonable?
Correct.
Okay. So that is a correct assumption. We're intrigued by just having Barbosa as an extra guard. It's not like we have to deal with the luxury tax. So how about Barbosa? Would you be willing to add in eventual dunk champion Derek Jones Jr.?
No, we love his athleticism. We're not trying to sell low on him right now.
Okay. So you're not looking to basically sell low on any of your young guys despite having a million of them. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. How about Alan Williams? He's just going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Would you be willing to throw him in?
No. So let me come at it. Right now, are you thinking of something based around Tucker and Barbosa for Brewer and a first rounder? Is that where we are right now as sort of the base?
Yes. How do you feel about that?
But you want Phoenix to throw more in or no?
Yeah, I think it would be better if they could, but if they're not willing to trade any of their guys, then but that's not a bad deal for us. And of course, Alex Len can't be included. You want him. You value him higher as well.
Right. Where are you at with KJ McDaniels? Is he somebody you're trying to get off of?
Or no. Okay. We have a team option with him. We're fine.
Okay. Yeah, we would do Tucker and Barbosa for Brewer and a first rounder. Obviously, we'll need to figure out the exact terms of that first rounder, but yes, we would do that.
Well, it would presumably be our 2017 pick straight up. I mean, maybe we put top 20 protection on it for 1 year and then top 20 protection for 2 years and then make it a second rounder. I mean, we're going to be top 20 anyway.
And then make it 2 second rounders. And then we have a deal. I'm not too worried about that.
2 second rounders.
It would revert to 2 seconds if not conveyed in 2018.
Correct. I'd become your 2018 and 2019 second rounders. Not too worried about that. I think it's going to convey this year, but just in case.
Okay. Well, it would need to be 18 and 2020, but that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're good with that. Top 20 protected for 2 years and then 2 seconds after that.
You got a deal.
Okay.
What do you think of that one, KP?
I really like that from Houston's standpoint. I mean, I think getting off of Brewer's salary is good for them. It's tough to give up a first round pick when you draft as well as the Rockets generally do, but to both upgrade this season and have the benefit in the long term, I like that.
I mean, if they're matching up against the Warriors, PJ Tucker is a very useful player.
Mm-hmm. And they could re-sign him. I mean, it's not definite, but they could.
Yeah, they would have full bird rights on him. Yeah. If they stay over the cap, that might be something they consider as well.
Yeah, and Barbosa, I think, would help them. He's because they have, I've talked about this before, they have this weird thing where they just don't have enough depth guys outside of their main players, so.
Yeah, D'Antoni guy, knows the system, can get out and run.
Yeah, very logical.
All right, yeah, that one's not bad. That'll do it for part two of the mock trade deadline. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, MeUndies. MeUndies.com/capspace gets you 20% off your first order. And Indochino, the capspace code, will get you any premium made-to-measure suit for just $389. We'll be back with part three, postponed a little bit because KP had a power outage up in Seattle, but hope to have that to you tomorrow night. Talk to you all then.